Okay. Our message today is going to be road hazards. And it's like, you guys are talking about this. And I'm like, yeah, it's going to come. It's going to come. And you're going to get to a section where it's like, yep, that kind of fits that one right square in our face here as we get through this. But, you know, it's funny how different messages come. So here we are driving back from North Carolina. It's a little bit, we were going to leave like Wednesday early morning, but there's a storm coming across. It's like a huge storm. It's going on all the way along the East Coast and coming up. It's rain until it gets to our area in North Carolina, where they have this threat of freezing rain early in the morning. So we were going to leave around 5 and stuff. And I'm thinking, I don't really want to go through all that. So schools were closed the way we're going to go back. And because, of course, you know, when they get a little bit of ice down that way or snow, it's pretty hazardous, actually. And because they are warmer climate, they do get more ice, and it is more of a hazard. But as we were finally coming back, we went through an awful lot of different types of conditions, and I'm thinking, you know, that road that we took all the way from, like, Raleigh, North Carolina, all the way up and through, all the way to Russell, New York, we ran into an awful lot of hazards. But it's a path that we take. And it's almost like our journey with Christ is that we have a beginning point and we have an ending point. And in between, there's a lot of stuff that can happen. A lot of stuff. And things that we don't really can predict, or some we try to predict. But I thought we would just kind of go through and look at some road hazards. I've got some scripture for you, and we'll kind of relate things in terms of how it comes together. So, I don't know, it's just something that God placed on my heart, and I think it can make sense to as we go through here. So, first one we've got here is this Isaiah verse. It's a chapter 40, verse 30, and it says this: "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fail."
Fall.
Thank you. Sometimes we think we're pretty strong, even in our youth, and that we can tackle anything. You know, generally we tend to think that we're invincible when we're young. And as we get older, we realize that invincibility really is kind of a blinders on our eyes. And though we may have done silly things when we're young, we look back on them and say, how did I even survive that? And sometimes there's also an awful lot of burdens where we think young people can handle, you know, that heavy workload, and young people can handle, a lot of changes. And I think of even like a divorce, where we just tend to assume that kids can handle that. It's no big deal. But it's a toll on them. Now, it was funny, we're talking with my family. And it's good. That's like my sister sent me a text. And she says, you know, it's kind of nice because we all get along. And I was telling Marion that this morning, too, is that my family does get along. And it may be because we're not all living in the same town, you know, and so when we get to see each other, it's kind of a special time. But we do stay in communication, and we deal with, you know, my dad's issues with Alzheimer's and his death, and my mom, you know, she's getting older now, too. She just had her 82nd birthday, is that right? And her mind is great, but she knows that her body's starting to fail. And my brother's already worried about that time where we have to take the keys away from her. You know, she's not a very great driver at night. She's not too bad during the day, but she's offered to take, I think it was Emily home. And I'm like, no, Mom, you're not taking her home because it's like raining out and it's bad out and it's dark out and there's a lot of traffic and stuff. And she's, oh, you guys are just like, no, you're not. You know, so we have to be firm. You have to start making choices sometimes. And it's hard. So, you think that through, you know, maybe you've been experienced and stuff, and you think that you're strong, you've been through this before, whatever, it's tiresome. And I'll tell you, driving all the way from Raleigh, North Carolina, all the way up to here, it could be, you know, 12, 14, 16 hours, depends on the weather and stuff like that, that's tiring. I don't care who you are. And we got out in Cracker Barrel over near Syracuse and stuff, and Hope was laughing because I got out and my right cheek was like numb. You know, she was driving, and I didn't realize it was numb, so I'm trying to get my leg out, and I wouldn't even get out of the car, and then I'm trying to put my weight on the car, and I'm on my leg, and I'm like, I'm walking like this, I'm like, what the heck? And it's like, and then that numbness just went right down my leg, and it was weird. And by the time I got into this store, you know, it was okay. But Hope was laughing at me. She says, you guys make fun of me, you know. It's like, here it is happening to you. It's hard sometimes. We stumble and we fall. But we're going to be looking at this scripture here later on. It's going to be the last scripture we're looking at as well. I'm going to go back to it because I always like looking a little bit before and a little bit afterwards to make it a point in terms of what's the scripture really trying to tell us. All right, so here we are. We're going to get into some of the traffic stuff that we're going to be dealing with, or the road hazards. And the first one I've got is just literally traffic. You know, Hope has already made it clear that she doesn't like driving in the city. She doesn't like driving when there's bad road conditions because of the traffic that's going to be on there. And I don't know about you, but 95, Route 95, I stay away from that as much as I can. Because there are people that are on there that drive, the speed limit's 55, and everybody is going 85 in areas. I don't like that. That makes me nervous. I'm not used to that sort of thing. And so what we do is we choose a path that we can take, a road path, that diverts us from taking 95. And being around Washington, the state where there just seems to be so much traffic. And you can get on your little Google Maps and stuff, and you can see, if you plot your course and everything and actually hit where you're going to go, you can see all this blue line where you're going to follow all the way up from North Carolina, all the way up to Raleigh, or to Russell, New York, where I'm going to be, or Harrisville for you guys. And you see these little sections of red where it should be blue. You know what that red section is? That's where the traffic jams. That's where there's accidents. That's where there's like dead stop areas where nobody is moving. And guess where you see that stuff all the time? 95. So why would anybody want to go through that stuff? So we design our path that we take going from North Carolina all the way up, and we take some scenic routes. We take, you know, 501 coming out of Durham and going west up to 81 and take that route over there. It's less traveled. There's less crazy drivers on there, I have found. And though it may take a little longer, I find that that is good. All right? And what we're looking at is sometimes, though, in our walk and our path and the traffic hazards that we have, we don't know what that traffic's going to be like. Sometimes we don't even know where to go. And it's a struggle when we're looking at this. But I want you to know that God has already prepared a place for you. And though we're not there yet, we're going to be traveling, and we're going to be going through all these road hazards and stuff. I want you to know that He's prepared a place for you. And sometimes it seems like our path is unclear. But you know what God does? God makes a path for us. So that we can get from point A, where we are right now, to that eternal glory with Him in heaven, and get there successfully. So let's look at some scripture. What's that?
It's all blue line.
Yeah, it's a blue line. That's right. Yes, I like that. Yeah. So the scripture I've got for you here is in John 14, 1 through 7, when we have all this traffic and stuff, God says this: do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And then Thomas, the disciple, says this here. Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And it's a struggle because you want to get from point A to point B and you want to be with the Lord. But how do you get there? What is your path that you're going to take? What is going to be the traffic pattern that you're going to choose? It's simple. God lays it right out and says this. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. You think about this, it's like when we use our Google Maps and create a path that's going to go from point A to point B, generally we have a line that goes in that direction. Obviously, the road and the terrain of the ground doesn't allow us to have a direct flight. Even if we fly, we never fly straight. It's always like curved or something to take into consideration the winds and other planes that are be flying in there as well. But if we need to go from Raleigh, North Carolina, all the way to New York, do we head down to Florida? Do we go over to Africa first? What path do we take so that we can alleviate some of the traffic problems, knowing that other people have? Let's look at another road hazard that's out there, and you guys are well, you know this one here, potholes. This is one of those things, I don't care what road you go on, you cannot escape potholes. Even the great roads of, Route 81 that we were taking up and stuff like that, they pave that all the time. And if you go through Pennsylvania, they're working on the road all the time. They have hazards like, road blockages and narrowed roads and stuff like that. You hardly ever see them working out there. But they always have those, the cones are set up or that narrow road that's going to be there because they're constantly fixing the roads. And you think even like down in North Carolina where they don't have all that heavy frost and the coldness that we have where it tends to destroy our roads, they have potholes down there too. And when you're driving along and you can see them coming, what do you always do? You kind of divert. You go around them or you go over them. But there's always those potholes. Even when we were coming down here today, Hope was like, that was a big one. It's like, yeah, I might have hit it. I didn't really go around it because I didn't think it was going to be that big. But I want you to know you can't always escape the potholes. We've hit potholes so hard sometimes that I think it's broken the belts in our tires. That it's taken the car out of alignment. And it's cost us money. It's cost us time because we didn't miss that pothole. We weren't paying attention. What's that?
Slow down.
Maybe that's it. Maybe we were going too fast. But I want you to know that you can't escape them. Wherever you go, there will always be potholes there. And I think of the time where sometimes we just ask God, I don't want any more potholes. I can't, my car can't take it. I can't take it. And yet, what do you see when you go down the road? Another one. But you become more aware of those potholes and realize that the potholes, in all essence, are part of the journey. How you handle the potholes determines the quality of your car by the time you get done with the journey. But sometimes, why doesn't God just remove those potholes and get rid of them? I think sometimes it's there as a reminder to us that we are weak vessels, that we can break. But we have to rely on one that has the strength to be able to carry us regardless of where we're at. And I think of Paul in this essence here where he had a thorn in his side that he wanted removed. Anybody think of a thorn that might be in your side that you've had in the past or have one right now that you want removed? Yeah. But what happens here in this scripture when we look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, it says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Seriously? This is Paul the Apostle. And he says that this thorn was given to him to keep him from becoming conceited. Can you imagine having the power of the Holy Spirit flow through you, that the gospel that you preached changed people's lives. Churches were established where they never were before. People were healed that were cripples, that you yourself been through beatings and stonings and still survive, and to keep himself from being conceited about these things, that he becomes invincible, he's been given this thorn. But what does he say? He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Remove that pothole. Get rid of it. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, insults, in hardships, and persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because you have to rely on God. So who has that huge pothole in their road that wants to get rid of it because their whole road is a pothole? We've lived on some dirt roads. They get washed out. They get the ripple effect that goes on it. Sometimes you have to go really slow because you just can't stay on it. That's one big pothole. Yeah, this Sally and Pete, I know they live on the dirt road over there. It's similar. You can't escape them. But instead of fighting them, maybe what we need to do is just turn them over to God and rely on Him, on His grace and His mercy, His strength, His wisdom, to be able to know how to handle those potholes. Because they're always going to be there. Well, when we were driving, we ran into an awful lot of rain. And rain ends up being one of those road hazards as well. And so we can prepare ourselves for conditions like that. Right? My brother was like, you know, he's down in North Carolina there, and he says, what, do you guys go mudding with your car? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He says, well, I looked at your tires, and they're like studs all over the place on those things. And I was like, I said, Dave, there's snow tires. You know, I said, you probably don't need to have snow tires down where you are because you might have those all-season tires. But I like having a set of winter tires, and I like having a set of summer tires. Right? My winter tires are much better in the snow than just all-season tires, and I like that sort of stuff. I am prepared for rain, even in the south, because snow tires go through a lot of water. They have a lot of places where that water can kind of, you know, disperse out, so I don't hydroplane. And they get a lot of hydroplaning down there. Tim and Em were telling us that the rain that they get down there sometimes, because the roads tend to be lower than the ground around them, that it tends to flood out. And you're just driving along, and next thing you know, you're spraying, and you've got water. And if you haven't got good tires, okay, you're out of control. And that rain it can be quite strong at times. When you're driving down in North Carolina, it's hard to see down there because the road, I don't know what they use for their road surface and everything, but it becomes really reflective at night. And even though you've got lights on your car, you can't see everything when it's raining. It's really hard. So what do? You know, they put these white lines along the side of the roads and the outside of it. There's probably several of you here that remember that when there weren't like white lines on the outside of your roads. There was just a center yellow line or white line that was there. And that really helps to be able to see that. Well, down in North Carolina, when it's raining, it's hard to see even those lights. So you know what they do? They put little reflectors on where all the little dotted lines would be. And you can see your path fairly clearly when it's raining. So we can do things to kind of prevent that from happening. And the accidents from the hazard of rain and all that goes along with it. Because again, when you're traveling down that road in 81 and it's raining, it has to be raining extremely hard for anybody on that road to start to think, well, I should be going less than 70 miles an hour. It almost has to be a blinding rain for that to happen. You have to slow down and be able to do that. Well, Scripture talks about rainstorms that come too, and what they are talking about is building on a foundation that when the rain comes, your foundation isn't going to be washed away, that your house is going to hold up. And so let's look at here in Matthew 7, 24 and 27. It says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. That person that built that house was prepared. He, she knew what to build and where to build. But let's go on. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down and streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell with a great crash. Folks, you know when you have bad tires. You know that if you run into a rainstorm that you are going to be hydroplaning. Do you fix your tires? Life is that way, folks. You're going to have those road hazards. Rain is going to come down on you. Are you prepared? Scripture is saying here that the wise man who not only hears God's word, but puts them into practice, right, can alleviate some of those that hazard there. How about this one here? We're going to take a pickup truck that's driving down the road 85 miles an hour. It's called road rage because road rage affects us all. The person that's mad because they are stuck behind a couple cars and wants to go, and then you because they want to get past you, and it flares. And it happens all the time. I look at it and it's like, stupid driver. And it is. It's stupidity. It's recklessness. That people go through that. And when you're driving down through the road, you find that. You see these people, you know, traveling in heavy traffic. And what are they doing? Talking on that cell phone. You see people in heavy traffic driving and, you know, they're putting makeup on. And we were talking to the kids at school, and it's like, or our kids there when we were down in North Carolina. It was kind of nice. We went out breakfast and lunch and dinner sometimes. There's a lot of going out to eat. But we went to different restaurants and stuff. And some of the restaurants we went in the morning for breakfast were like awesome restaurants. So we're like, do people normally, and there's restaurants down there that just do breakfast and brunch or lunch, and they don't even do dinner. They just do the morning stuff. And it's like, they must reach an awful lot of commuters and stuff because they come in and they have their lunch early and then they go to work. And Tim was like, no, that's not how it works. They get their meal and then they either eat it on the way or they eat it at their workplace. They don't really sit down and have that. They're just always on the go. They're always rushed. And when we look at this road rage stuff, people are in a rush. And I think the statistics show the reason why people get into road rage is because they're late for something. And they have to get the work on time. Well, if the weather's bad, you leave early. Allow for that time to happen, to get over it. And sometimes we get into a position where we are put into a predicament where we get upset with other people. Because they're not responding as fast as we want them to. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They should know. They're Christians. And they don't. Why don't they? I've told them several times already that they should know. But we get upset. As on our walk with our Christians. Our Christian walk. Because we have higher expectations. And realizing it's upsetting. So think about this. Jesus is on his walk back to Jerusalem. And Jesus is sending people ahead of him to prepare that when Jesus comes, the people know about it. They're taking time off from work, or they're taking whatever, so they can bring their people and Jesus will heal them. But not everybody's receptive of that. Why would they not be? I mean, look at what all of Jesus has done. And so, what's our response to that? Well, let's look at what the disciples were in their little road rage going down to Jerusalem. And Luke 9, 51 through 56 says this, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely, that means he definitely needed to go, set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead. who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" Talk about road rage. They didn't do what they're supposed to. They should have welcomed Jesus because of who he is. We've seen so many things. Ah, we're going to destroy them. Get rid of them. Those useless people. Those stupid people. What does Jesus say to them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went into another village. Right? Road rage is pouring out of those disciples because they wanted something to happen, and it didn't happen. We need to be careful because we will be rebuked. When you start looking what happened to Samaria afterwards, there happened to be a woman at the well that Jesus found. And guess what? She went and told somebody the story that who Jesus was, and there's so much has happened that even in Samaria, a place where they seemed to just push Jesus away, there were many that were saved. But if the disciples just destroyed them, what saving is there? You know, and so we become angry at things, you know, in our walk in terms of it's not going the way we want it to go. Jesus rebuked those people. We need to be cautious of our attitude as we're going through these road hazards and what we do. Next one we've got is wind. Wind blows. I don't know. It was kind of funny. We were coming up 81 and I was telling Hope, I said, you know, it's funny. It's like, we're not getting blown. You go through that Shenandoah Valley and stuff over in Virginia and everything. It's just beautiful. But there's always a wind that goes through there. And that wind comes from the west, and I'm traveling north, and you could just feel your car swaying back and forth. This time when we were coming up, there was no wind because the wind was behind us. And it just made it so nice to travel through that area there. But that's not always the case. We've driven through there sometimes where you're just driving along, and next thing you know, your car just goes over 2 feet. And you weren't expecting it. And it just, that the wind just blew you right in there. Imagine if there was a car, tractor trailer, right next to us during that time. How that hazard and how it must be. Well, when we drive in through, we have to realize that there's things that are going to hit us that we can't even see. You can see the effects of wind, and we were looking at some signs that were there that were twisted in the, you know, just these big I-beams going up. That's wind that does that. And yet you can't see it. There'll be things on your path that are going to be around you that will buffet you from one side to the next. The thing that affects us the most in our Christian walk is the gospel. Or sometimes what we call the interpretation of that gospel. Some people come to you and say, "Oh, this scripture means this." Somebody else will say, "This means this." Somebody else will say, "No, it doesn't mean any of that stuff. It means this over here." And you're buffeted back and forth. What does it really mean? What does scripture really mean in this area over here? And if you're not grounded in God's word, you'll listen to preachers, you'll see things happen, people around you that call themselves Christians, and you'll question why stuff happens the way it does. Why is all of this stuff here like that? But God doesn't want you blown around. God tells you that there is only one gospel. And that we need to be firm in that. So when we look at the scripture here, in James 1, 5 and 6, it says, "If anyone of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to them. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." You've got no direction. You're going up and you're going down, you're going this way and you're going that. You've seen that in ocean pictures and stuff like that. The wind is what makes the waves. The wind is what tosses those ships all over the place. If you don't know your way, if you don't secure, if you're not secure with God, you will be blown around. Get to know who He is. Don't let that be a hazard on the road. Another one there, this type of the year, we have this blinding snow that can come into us. And it is pretty funny. I just remember a couple of stories when I was a kid, and I was just... I just got my license, so I was probably like 16, maybe 17, and we were traveling down to East Aurora, do a little skiing and stuff. There's this one hill. It's just not even a real big hill, but there's just no trees or anything there, and we called it the White Zone all the time because that's where the blizzards always were, and there would be so much snow that they couldn't use a regular snowplow that would go in there. They have to use what we call the cheese cutter. It's basically a big payloader that had a big blower on it. They could raise it up like 16 feet and chop the drift that was so high, you know, it would be as high as the top of the trim on the windows over there. And you're driving through this stuff here, and the wind starts blowing, right? And it's just howling. And I'm driving through this with this big van, this big cargo van that, you know, that seats all of us, my big family and stuff. And I can't see anything. And I go to Mom, what do I do? She says, just keep going. You can't stop because somebody will run right into you. Just kept my steering wheel straight and just kept going. And eventually it cleared up and stuff like that. And I think of another time where Dad was driving. And it is kind of a funny story. But there was so much snow blowing around, you couldn't see anything. He was just following the car in front of him, you know, because they knew obviously where they were going. Well, they were like 100 feet off the road by the time they couldn't go any farther. They thought they got stuck on the road. Here they were in a field with the cars. How'd you even get that far off the road? It's like, how do you do that? Really, it's like, how do you get that far off the road and not even realize it? Well, when there's a blizzard out there, you have no direction, sense of direction where you're going. Wind's blowing this way, that's all white and everything. And even Lexi was telling me when we were doing our little study out here, that snow sometimes stings your eyes if you're outside in there. It's pretty hazardous. You got that, Randall? Yeah. Well, I tell you, when you're in the storm, you're on your own, right? There's basically no one there to help you and stuff like this. So let's look at what Scripture says over here. And we've got to be careful not to be on our own. So Luke 6, 37 to 39 says this, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you'll not be condemned. We have so many human standards that we tend to rate other people with. Right? And we tend to do this on our own. But God says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured out into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be a measure to you. And then he also adds to this parable after that, can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? That if we go on our own, because we're blinded by the snow, blinded by the path that's around there, guess where we're headed? Blinded because the light's going funny. Yeah. Oh, that's even weirder. Okay, I didn't put thunder down in there. But I'm going to see what we got. Oh, God. Okay, I think God's saying, move along here. Move along. Yeah. That was... That's not Fort Drum, is it, or is it? It doesn't stop. It's just going. The lightning? Yeah, pretty scary. Really, it is. Potholes, right? Yeah, it's gonna be. We're still here. We still have power. It's awesome. All right, so with that blinding snow, you can realize that when we're on our own, folks, we have no direction, right? We need to have this here. We had to have the guidance from God. Ice is a big one. It's like it's kind of funny. We're coming up North Carolina, and there's this sign that says, bridge freezes before the road. Ice is over before the road. And that sign, you couldn't even read the bottom of it because it's all covered with ice and everything, right? But here we are. We're driving along, and it's like all of a sudden the car just goes off to the side. And it is not any fault of mine. It's just the road literally becomes ice. And this, we were experiencing that sort of thing just coming up when we were getting into Harrisburg in there. So it was bad driving, right? It was really bad. And yet, how fast does everybody go? 70 miles an hour, right? Okay, so you got these big traffic warning signs that says slow down, right? And there's a Pennsylvania warning that says all traffic 45 miles an hour. Seriously? We're going 70. You don't go 45 when it says that on the sign. You were listening to the radio. What was it, the AM station there? And it was finally came in and it says no track double tractor trailers. What do they call them? Double trailers. Yep, tandem ones. There you go. No empty tractor trailers on the road, and everybody's supposed to go 45 miles an hour. Okay, who listens to that? Really? Yeah, no, we got a point A to point B to go. And so here we are. We get to the roads, and this section is the bridges, like I said, are kind of icy and everything. You can feel it. Every time you go over a bridge, it's icy. But there's other sections where it's nice. So there's this three-lane section over here, and there's most of the traffic's on the right. And I'm thinking, I'm going to stay on the left. I'm going to stay away from this traffic because I don't really like all that traffic and stuff. This is the only place, and there's a bend going to the right, but this is the only place where that third lane is still has slush and crap on there, and we're traveling right along like it's empty. You know, the roads are bare and clean. And all of a sudden I said to Hope, I got to get over to the middle lane over here because there's a car off the road, right? That probably just happened. Why? Because they tried to do exactly the same thing. They hit that icy condition. I don't care how good your tires are. You're out. Yeah, nothing works on ice on there. And I was telling my brother, and we're just joking, texting back and forth and stuff like that. And he says, "Well, why don't you get those tires with, steel cleats in them?" I think called them. I said, "Oh, the studded tires and stuff like that." I said, "I don't like them because they're loud. They're sissy tires anyhow, right?" And I go like that. And then I text back to him and said, "I don't know. I'm kind of thinking I want those sissy tires now. It's like they'd be pretty good." But ice is kind of crazy because it really blindsides you. And whether you've got four-wheel drive or not, it doesn't really matter. But let's look and see what Scripture has to say. In 2 Peter 3, 17 or 18, he says, "Therefore, my dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord your Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." We have to be on guard. Ice can come into our path anytime. And you have to understand that it's going to be there in certain hazard conditions and stuff. Ice is bad. And it's kind of crazy. We can also look at a position here where we're just going too fast for the conditions. Right? There's times where, I'm guilty of doing that sort of thing. It doesn't matter how good you are. You've already put yourself into a situation where there's no escape from it. And you have to be careful because when you're going so fast, it's because you're putting trust in those physical things around you. You know, your car, your pension, your job. And you're trying to excel in so many different ways that, life is just going grand. But you have to be careful. Because you don't know what's around that corner. And there's something that can hit you really hard. So when we're looking at 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18, it says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." And it's not just about rich people. It's about people that putting their faith not in God, but in man. In just those physical things that you have, you have to be careful because it says here that it says, "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." If we put our hope in our physical things around this world, in our flesh, right? We have to be extremely careful because our flesh isn't perfect. We get sick, right? We're not going to have that strength in our bodies that we have all the time. Our mind isn't always going to be as sharp as it ought to be. But the things that last are the things that we do for the Lord. Those are the things that are treasured in heaven. So on our road, be careful that we don't put too much trust in just our tires or our cars or just that we've got GPS and we'll never get lost. Well, that doesn't always happen, because there's this thing called deer that can be in our road. And we saw several of those that were like splattered around, and I can't imagine what the cars looked like on that thing. It's a 120-pound animal, sometimes smaller, maybe a little bigger sometimes. Beautiful animal that can destroy a 2-ton vehicle. It can deaden you in your tracks. That deer in this road case here is an animal, but there are many different deers that could be in your road that can just stop you in your tracks. We have to be careful to be watching out for those. We just went out to dinner with Jim and Sherry Tebow last night, and Jim's like, there's a deer way up there. I'm like, where? I don't even see this thing, right? And he's like, way down the road, along the side of the road, he can spot those things. It's awesome. Hope's a good spotter of those too. So I trust the people around me are looking for deer, because they know in this area we have those hazards in there. So why are we just ignoring them sometime? It says here in 1 Peter 2, 7 through 10, now you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. We're talking about the stone, Christ being that stone. It also says here that a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. A small stone can cause a big man to fall. Christ himself, did I say it wrong?
No, we're just...
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. I just have to be careful what I say. I don't always read things right. But here we go. We've got a small stone that can cause us to stumble. And the stone is Christ. That if we don't recognize who Christ is, that is going to be your biggest stumbling block. That is going to be the deer in the road that's going to stop you in your tracks. It says they stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Folks, on our path, on our Christian walk, the biggest stumbling block we can have is not accepting Christ, recognizing who he is. If we don't, we're going to stumble over that all the time. That stone is going to be a constant, weary hazard to us. And the last hazard I've got, which I know there's many of them, and I'm kind of going long here, so I do apologize. So let me go back on the section over here. I forgot. There's two verses on this. It says they'll become they stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But for us, those that are believing, what are we destined for? But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Christ isn't a stumbling block for you if you believe who he is. And it's awesome because you become then a child of God. You become his messenger. And you become a guide for others. Well, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, we had to pull over. We had to find a place. Fortunately, there was a hotel that we could go to. They had a room and everything for us. I figured there might be an awful lot of people pulling off. But when we ran into all of these hazards, the freezing rain, the slippery roads, the crazy driving conditions, those people just passing you, the road rage and stuff, I finally said, enough is enough. We're getting off this road, off this path, and we're going to take a time out. Do you, on your path, sometimes take a time out? Or do you just keep plugging away, regardless of the hazards that are out there? Sometimes God wants you just to stop, because there's too many hazards out there, and we're not paying attention to that sort of thing. So the scripture I've got here in 1 Corinthians 10, 11, 13 says, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. What we're talking about is things that happened in the Old Testament to the Israelites, trying to get into the Promised Land, building the temple, and then eventually worshiping idols. All of these things, and being taken out of the temple being destroyed, all these things happened, right, as warnings to us, on whom the fulfillment of the age has come. So if you think you're standing firm, Be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. All these temptations, all these road hazards and stuff, we've all experienced them. It is common to everyone that's here. You know what I'm talking about, and you can relate to everything that I'm saying because you've experienced them. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God provided a way out for us, a hotel room that we could spend the night in until all this stuff was cleared up. And it was so neat when we were driving back that next morning and all that ice that had come, we were kind of, there's this big pool of ice that was really bad in that area. We were down near the bottom of it. So if we decided to travel through it, we would still gone through the worst of it. But in that next morning, it was so neat. The sun was coming up and the whole landscape was covered with ice. And you know what that looks like? Every tree branch covered in ice, every twig, every grass, every sign covered. It was just beautiful. That which was an unbelievable hazard, if I hadn't stopped, we wouldn't have seen that beauty too. But we were then driving on safe roads at that time because we were derailed and we took the time to get away from those hazards. Just remove yourself. So there's a proverb that comes up in 14:22. It says, do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. Plan your road trip out to avoid those hazards. Right? If pornography is a problem, don't plan your trip next to that adult section in the store. If you have a problem with certain foods and stuff like that, don't plan your grocery shopping when you're hungry. If you have problems with neighbors or whatever, don't plan to do events when they're there. Just the whole point is like plan your stuff so that you can plan to do what is good and love. So we looked at this next section here, this next verse here in Isaiah 40, verse 30. It says, "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall." Let's look a little bit about what it says before that and after that. And it says this here. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, regardless of the hazards that are out there, my friends. And His understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So when they start talking about even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall, those that don't depend on God, they will fail. They will get weary. They will get tired. And it goes on, he says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. What does that talk about the hazards in the road when you are close to God? Yeah, they don't have an effect on you. You get to soar. You get to run. You get to go. Why? Because you're under God's protection. You're not fighting all these worldly hazards because they're not your battles to fight. They're the Lord's. I know it's been a long message, but I've been away for a little while. I've got something to tell you, that there's road hazards out there. What's that? What's that?
We've been listening a lot closer. It's a thunderstorm.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. Be with God. Rely on Him for all things. And those hazards that are constantly there, they're there, but they don't bother you. Because you have the Lord, and you have an enjoyment of life that you just can't have otherwise. Amen? Lord, I just thank You for this word, and just hold us close. Those potholes, those the wind, the snow, the rain, the ice, whatever it is, Lord, hold us close to You, that we can build our foundation on You and weather those storms, weather those road conditions, and just not worry about it. We've got You. And You have us. And this I thank you, Lord, through your Son. Amen.